Thank you, Jeff and Aaron. As Pastor Jack said, he gives some of us privilege to share the word with you. And I'm standing here with a fear and trembling and my hand shaking, but see how it goes. A few weeks ago, my wife asked me to go outside and whack the weeds around my house. Because of so much rain this year, just plants grew a lot, including weeds. Whacking the weeds is my job in our house, and I suppose it's true to many households. My wife would pluck the weed using a little tool in her hands, and the outside of the house, inside of the house, the majority is my job. So I go out with the electric, what I call the weed whacker, and zzz, like this. It's a lot of fun. By the way, you know, a few days ago in a prayer meeting, I was talking about asking them to pray for me because I'll be sharing. And the guy said, what are you talking about? So I told him, I'm talking about weed. And the one guy said, oh, San Francisco weed. I said, no, that not that weed, okay? We're talking about weed outside my house. And then there's actually another person said, well, yeah, it's not a joint service. So here's a little 60s summer of love joke here. Now I'll get back to, okay, where am I? So it's amazing how weed grow without us doing anything. I mean, I don't water anything. I don't fertilize anything. But it just grow. All the tree that we have, all the brush we have, it's just surrounded by weed. We have to cut and clear them so that our good tree and flowers grow and look beautiful. Life is like that. In a few minutes, we'll talk about more about the weed does to what weed does to our life. As Pastor Jack said, month of June, we'll be studying Jesus' teaching using parables. And we are studying the book of Matthew chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. It's in your bulletin. And it also appears in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8 as well. These are well-known passages. Most of you, or many of you, are familiar with those. Let me pray and get started. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for today's scripture. Pray that it will shed more understanding what you want us to learn, Lord. Thank you and pray in Jesus' name. And let's go to the passage. Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Verse 22. The one who has received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So what is a parable? Pastor Jack just explained a little while ago. I looked it up in the Webster. It says parable is a usually short fictitious story that illustrate a moral attitude or religious principle. A short fictitious story that illustrate a moral attitude or religious principle. It is fictional, but it's true to life that teaches us spiritual truth. There are 35 parables in the Gospels. So why did Jesus spoke in parables? And disciple asked that in chapter 13. And he answered this way in verse 11 to 12. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." On the same passage, actually, in a different translation, and it's in the Message, reads this way. "The insight into God's kingdom has been given to you. Not everybody has this gift, the insight. Whenever someone has ready heart for this, the insight and understandings flow freely. But if they are not ready, then trace of receptivity soon disappears." So that's why Jesus tells in parable to create readiness to nudge the people toward receptive readiness. And also, Jesus spoke in parable so that true disciples of Jesus would know. But social followers or curiosity followers do not. And verse 13, he continue on to say, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. Those hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," which is in verse 14 to 15. "Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, I would heal them." This is this is a quote from Isaiah 6, chapter 9 through 10. So all plants start life as a seed, start from the seed. When seeds are planted, what happens next? The seeds grow root. Plants do not shoot leaves like this or the fruits right away. They have to start from the roots. Once these roots take a hold, a small plant will begin to emerge and eventually break through the soil. It's called seed is sprouted, or this process is called, students, germination. It's called germination. As the plant grows and begins to make its own food from nutrients it takes from the soil and take up through the roots and go up to the larger plant. So in order for plants to grow, the essential ingredients, number one is light. The light gives energy to convert into food. This process is called, anybody know? Photosynthesis. And then number two item they need is food and nutrients so that they can grow and the water. And where do they get those things? The water comes from the top, but also from the bottom. The food, nutrients, and water are coming from the soil through the root to the plant. Like humans or animals, plants need both water and nutrients. Most of plants use water to carry moisture and nutrients from the roots, from the ground, between the roots, and go up to the leaves. Another ingredient is important is a healthy soil. It is extremely vital to plants. In addition to the first three, the soil provides the anchor, provides the nutrients first, but it also anchors the plant to hold up and support the plant. So I'm going to go back to the passage section by section of what that's the plant. And if you, it's not very clear, but that's where the roots are. Let's go back to the, here you go. The first part is the Matthew 13, verse 3 to 4. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So on the road where the surface is very hard and no soil, so do the seed grow? It just does not grow. And the birds come along and ate them up, or the wind blows and just scatter. So Jesus explained in 18 to 19, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And the Luke passage explains, Luke 8 in verse 11 to 12, said the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. These along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So the seed is the word of God, and if the person does not understand God's message, there's no growth. Since there's no understanding, the evil one comes and snatches away. The second part, the hard ground that we're on the path is the one whose heart is hardened. And he hears but does not understand the word. So Satan plucks the message away and preventing him to understand the word. And on the second one, the verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and then withered because they had no root. There's very little soil underneath, and so the root only goes so far. And so it does not support the whole plant. It only lasts a very short time. When the sun comes up, plants were scorched and withered. And Jesus' explanation in verse 20 said, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once received it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. In the Luke passage 8:13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Seemingly grow quickly, but without deep root, last only a short time. Trouble or persecution cause person to turn away. The stony ground pictures a man who professes delight with the word. However, his heart is not changed. And when trouble arises, his so-called faith quickly disappears. You may know someone who's been very excited about gospel of Jesus for a while, but somehow disappear quietly. So remember the essential ingredients: light, food, water, healthy soil, all those things we needed. Since all of us are here today on church Sunday to listen to scripture and message, so congratulations to all of you. You are at least beyond stage one, and which is the hard surface where you don't even grow. But are we beyond the stage two and three? Two is you hear the word and quickly forgotten. And number three is verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Ground among thorns, just like my backyard and sideway and the flowers and just covered with weeds. Chokes up the growth and no or little fruit. Thorns grow around the plant and choke them. Jesus' explanation is this: the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. In Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. The man who hears a word, but hears others as well. Worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, and it becomes unfruitful. It is similar to the second one, the rocky ground where it grows a little but short root. The thorny ground is the one who seems to receive the word, but whose heart is tilted towards life's riches, pleasures, and lust. The things of this world take his time and attention away from the word, and he ends up having no time for it. I guess it is more true nowadays when we are surrounded by all sorts of interruptions. We used to get news from TVs and newspapers and magazines. Perhaps a third of people here remember that we used to sit down in front of a TV to view today's event once a day, maybe in the evening. More recently, we used to sit in front of a desktop computer to view the internet. Remember those small screen with about 3 feet in the back? Nowadays, it's a little thing like this. Now the news comes to you in form of smartphones, tablets, 24/7. The news comes from not only from news people, but from Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, WeChat, and WhatsApp, and of course, the YouTube. We have become not only the receiver of news, but also the contributor of news ourselves. I don't even have to look at the newspapers anymore to know what happened to San Francisco Giants and Golden State Warriors. I just go to Facebook on somebody's page, and I can see what's happened. Or I can read. I don't have to read the restaurant guide because I see all kind of people going to restaurants, and I see the pictures all the time. Well, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is all bad, okay? I'm just saying that it could hinder our understanding of God and miss out on priority of things. I know some people go home today and unfriend me on the other Facebook. In the late 70s and 80s, some people had a dilemma whether come to church on Sunday morning or stay home and watch 49ers when they play in East Coast. Of course, we don't have that issue anymore because 49ers don't win anymore. But if you have to weigh attending to Sunday service versus, your pleasure, whether it's a football, baseball, whatever, that's the thorny place. It should not even be an issue. The fourth point, verse 8. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Man who hears the word and understand it, good and rich soil, no thorns, no destruction, produces crop 30, 60, 100 times. And in verse 23, Jesus said, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. In Mark chapter 4, verse 20, others like seeds sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Remember, the seed is the word of God. Read God's word, study it, understand it, and own it. It becomes fruitful and multiplies 30, 60, 100 times. And then it will rub off onto others around you. And you would have desire to know more as you learn. So the word of God is a seed, and which soil applies to you? The number one was hard ground. Nothing sticks or grows. Does not understand, and the evil snatches away. That was a hard ground. Number two was rocky places. Grows a little very quickly, but trouble because of the word, it quickly withers and falls away. Number three is the thorny places. Others grow around it. Worries, riches, pleasures interfere and choke up and unfruitful. Number four is a good soil. You hear the word and understand it, and no hindrance. So it produces crop 30, 60, and 100 times. Let's just look at it and think for a moment yourself. Where are you? There are a number of ways you can grow and continue to grow towards the good soil. One is to read God's word regularly and study the scripture and understand each of them. Number three, surround yourself with other Christians, like-minded people, and join small groups. And most importantly, pray that God will give you strength to move towards God's good soil. God will give you the desire to move towards good soil. I'm going to just leave this up there for a while. Study the scripture, and understanding is very important. Coming to church is very important, and listen to sermon is important, and all of you are here today, so it's good. But it may not be enough. You may need to know, to do more. Well, you might say, oh, I read Bible every day and study myself. That's good. It works for some people. Others need to be with other people to study together. I personally found that when you are in a group and discussing among the group about the passage, you find more and get more insight because others have different views and deeper understanding, and you benefit from listening to others as well. That's why it's important to attend, whether it's a Sunday school or the Bible study in a small group or the fellowship or even outside organization. One of the church goals this year and next year is to have you connected to join either a small group or the fellowship. And if you're not connected, please talk to Pastor Jack or other leaders. We have different groups here for different ages, life stages, location, and so forth. It is much easier if you are in a connected fellowship and when you have a problem, when you have a joy to share with other people. And also there are a number of other opportunities outside of church setting. In the last time when I was up here, I mentioned about the Bible Study Fellowship. It's called BSF. BSF is an in-depth interdenominational Bible study that helps people know God and equips them to effectively serve the church throughout the world. There are about 1,100 classes in 40 countries around the world, and 700 of them are in the United States. Now, there are, on top of 1,100 classes, there are 2,500 classes. It's called satellite classes, where they meet in a smaller places or groups, do the same lesson, same way. But it became possible because of the internet and programs such as Skype. It happened was a couple of years ago in Fresno, there are a group of men who actually work in the Yosemite Valley and up in the mountain. And they could not come down to the Fresno class, but they had a desire to learn Bible. So without telling BSF, they started Skyping. And it worked. So BSF headquarters found out and said, hey, that works, go for it. So now we have a lot of different satellite groups. In fact, the women's class in San Bruno, who has about 250 ladies, they do have a satellite group who meets here in Golden Gate on Wednesday evening on the fellowship. That's part of the 250 women in San Bruno. They have about 40 people meet there on the Wednesday night. And I believe there are over a dozen people from our church actually attend that. And many of them, if not all of them, are leaders and volunteers in our church. And BSF purpose is to teach Bible and train individuals so that they serve the local community. They are just exactly doing just that. And the men's group that they meet, they have just changed to a new location, the First Baptist Church in downtown SF. That's in Marquette and Laguna. And they have satellite in San Bruno, well as in Marin. So you have no excuse not to attend one of those. And other organizations to know is like Perspective, course that the website says, this is exciting. I read their website. It says, it is an adventure of a lifetime that will give you a new and deeper understandings of God's story and his desire for you to be part of it. Perspectives will change the way you view the world. That's exciting. They'll teach you about mission field, how to apply the Bible into the mission field. You can find a little bit more about the perspective from Jeff Howe. Don't you want to be a good soil where the God's word does not get picked by wayside or scorched because it had no root or choked up by outside influences and noises? Don't you want to grow 10, 30, 60, 100 times because you hear and understand the word of God more? Yes, you are here almost every week, listen to Pastor Jacks or others sharing the gospel. That is good. But are you a rocky soil where root is shallow? It withers easily by adverse environment, or are you among the thorns, choked up by outside influences easily? There are too many noises and temptations. Are you able to withstand those, or are you the good soil where the word of God is understood and lived? Plants require light, nutrients, water, and good soil to grow. There's one more thing plants require. That's the time. They do not grow overnight. It takes time and patience to grow, some more than the others. Most plants require a particular number of days or months or even years to produce flowers or fruits. Peach tree, when the tree grow up, it still takes 3 years before it start producing fruits. Or persimmons, it takes 8 years. So it takes time. Growth takes time. It is same with us. We don't just one day wake up and, okay, now I understand everything. It would be nice, but it doesn't happen that way. At least not to most of us. We need nutrients, light, water, on a good soil and take away the weeds around us before you start hearing fruit, bearing fruits. You need to study scripture and understand it so that when you are tempted with worldly things, you can hold on to the word. Then it multiplies 10, 30, 60, 100 times and onto your family, onto your friends, onto co-workers, and onto your neighbors, so that they may know God through you. Wouldn't that be wonderful when you meet God and he says to you, well done, faithful servant. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you for the insight, and pray you give us a desire to move towards good soil so that we understand the word and spread it to the world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And today we celebrate Lord's Supper as a remembrance of Jesus Christ, once for all, sacrificial death for the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, states, we ought to examine ourselves before we eat of bread and drink of the cup. God promises for forgiveness of sin. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a silent moment of meditation and reflection. Thank you for everything you have done for us. You have sacrificed your life to save us from our sins. Forgive us for the sins that were committed against you. We desire to atone for them through your precious blood. Wash away our sins. Cleanse our body and soul. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.